This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم بعد. So the first few rak'ah that we have we prayed, we listened to the end of Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, many ulama of tafsir, they call it Surah Al-Adab or Al-Akhlaq. Basically, it's the surah that represents the family etiquette. It represents a lot of the etiquettes of the community and particularly family etiquette. Specifically what we heard tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us few of these beautiful family etiquettes that we need to actually observe, and us as parents responsible to teach our children and deliver to our children as well, bi'nillah azza wa jal. So the first rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in what we heard in this recitation about seeking permission. You know, when you knock on the door, before you enter a room, I mean, in this society, in this culture, who cares about permission anyway? Who cares about decency or even akhlaq and manners and haya? Like, who cares about that stuff? Few people, subhanAllah, still care about these issues. But a lot of people, they lost that sense of haya, sense of modesty. They lost that. And as a result, of course, the kids, they don't care. I mean, they see it on TV anyway. So why would they care about seeking permission before they enter their parents' room and so on? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that we're responsible to teach our kids these akhlaq and these adab. قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم والذين لم يبلغوا الحلم منكم ثلاث مرات. Allah is telling us, all you who believed, let your servants and those who did not reach the age of puberty of your children, like your kids, your little kids who didn't reach the age of puberty, let them seek permission before they enter your private room. Let them seek permission from you three times specifically of the day and the night. These are particular three times, meaning these are the most intimate moments between a husband and wife, between father and mother, that the kids should not be exposed to, and the kids should learn to give their parents privacy during this particular time. He says, من قبل صلاة الفجر وحين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة ومن بعد صلاة العشاء ثلاث عورات لكم. The three awrat, three times will you be exposed. Therefore, make sure that your kids, they seek permission from you. What are these times? The first one, before Fajr. The second one, حين تضعون ثيابكم من الظهيرة, when you come to your qailula, to your nap during the day. Now, because of the corporate world, most of us don't take that nap, basically. But, you know, traditional households and family structure and so on, a lot of people, they come during noontime to take their break. So they take a nap after they eat. And also he said, وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ, and right after Isha. He said, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ. These are the times where the awrat most likely will be exposed. Obviously, before Fajr, you know what? Maybe the parents were intimate during the night, so they might be exposed. During Dhuhr time, you know what? It's too hot. You want to relax a little bit. Take off some of the clothes, right? And after Isha, also probably the time to be intimate. Kids would wake up. They don't care. They come and they dash into the door. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering us, parents, to teach our children, before you enter mommy's room, before you enter daddy's room, you make sure to knock on the door. And when we say knock on the door, doesn't mean to knock and open the door. No, we teach them, you knock on the door, and you wait to be permitted and allowed to come in. Teach your children this adab. Remember, this adab, this etiquette was mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about us to the extent that he's teaching us how to be responsible in teaching our kids how to be, how to behave in the household, in the house. So that's the first etiquette. And he's teaching us subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثَلَاثُ عَوْرَاتٍ لَكُمْ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَيْهُمْ جِنَاحٌ بَعْدَهُنْ طَوَّفُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ. After these three intimate times, it's okay. Like during the day, when you're most likely awake, it's fine. They don't have to, but it's fine. Until they reach the age of puberty. Until they reach the age of puberty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمُ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا كَمَا اسْتَأْذَنَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. When they reach the age of puberty, that's it. They're now adults. They need to seek permission at all time. At all times. Mommy, daddy at home, before you enter the house, even if you're coming from outside, let's say you have a teenager, for example, or you have a son or a daughter, they're coming from work, they're coming from college, from school, they have a key to the house or the garage door, That doesn't mean they just simply open the door and just come in. No, they need to also seek permission. Remember, it's their house. You know, because they live there, right? Their parents' house. But they're still responsible. They're supposed to ask permission, meaning they ring the bell. If they actually, the etiquette is that you knock on the door or open the door, and before you get in, you say out loud, Assalamu alaikum. Because back in the day, they didn't have probably doors for each room. They didn't have that. So the way people seek permission is by saying out loud. They're saying Assalamu alaikum out loud. So they say Assalamu alaikum. And if they don't hear Wa alaikum assalam, they repeat that 3 times. So you have to teach them that. Before you get into the house, even if you open the door, you need to make sure that you alert the people in the house. What if the mother, for example, she's in the kitchen, she's cooking, it's too hot, let's say, and she might be, let's say, dressed in a way that they might not see. They shouldn't be seeing it. So therefore, they actually alert her. So this etiquette is even mentioned in the Quran. Allah is teaching us how to teach our kids to behave, you know, also with their parents. So your younger children who did not reach the age of puberty, they're responsible to seek permission during those specific intimate times. But once they reach the age of puberty, they need to seek permission at all time. They knock on the door and they say, Assalamu alaikum, can I come in? If they were told no, it means no. And if they're told, come on in, then they are allowed to come in. Teach them the adab. Teach them the etiquette so they learn that there is something called modesty. Something called haya and akhlaq. They need to learn that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the older women. Al-qawa'idu min al-nisa'i allati la yarjuna nikahan. Those women who reach certain age, you know, way past the menopause, and now they don't have any kind of, you know, anticipation for marriage. Maybe they reach their age. So therefore, they don't have that kind of, you know, they're not looking to get married afterwards. So they want to just live, alhamdulillah, live life of ibadah, social, peaceful social life and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed these women, and يَضَعْنَ ثِيَابَهُمْ. They're allowed to do their tiyab, which means their hijab. They're allowed to take it easy on themselves with regard to their hijab. However, still, وَأَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْنَ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. That even if they have the iffah to keep maintaining the hijab, that's better for them. What's the meaning of these older women to take it easy, you know, with the hijab? That doesn't mean to remove it completely and go to the salon, the beauty salon, for example, and have their hair, yeah, and they dyed and walk out the streets, you know, with the hot pink, you know, lipsticks and all that stuff. No. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about, yeah, not even midlife crisis. That's end-life crisis. No, we don't mean that. What we mean by this is basically what is normally known, you know, that it's hard for them to maintain because of the weather, the heat, the condition, you know, the subhanAllah, maybe their heavy movement and so forth. So it's okay if the hijab is just wrapping it over their heads, and if it falls off, it's okay for them, for example, if the hair comes out. But obviously, that's for the very older women. We're not talking about, you know, if you say at 40 or at even 50, probably, maybe they're not yet al-qawa'idu min al-nisa. So we're talking about those who actually reach a certain age that don't have a desire for marriage afterwards, for instance. In this case, they are allowed actually to take it easy on themselves in regard to the rules of hijab, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. The last thing I want to mention here is the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about adab al-ziyara. This is Ramadan. A lot of people inviting each other for iftar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a valuable lesson over here in regards to the etiquette of the family gathering in regards to dinners and gathering around the food and so on. He said, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجٌ وَلَا عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is no blame. There is no blame on al-a'ma. Al-a'ma means the blind. Al-a'raj, the lame, the person, the one who has disability, basically. That's the meaning of it, representing disabilities. And then wal-marid, someone who is ill. Now, what does it mean exactly? Allah says, all these people, including you, there is no blame on you. And Allah mentioned even that you eat from the houses, from your houses, the houses of your parents, is your fathers, your mothers, then he said your brothers, your sisters, he mentioned your uncles, your paternal uncles, your maternal aunts, and then your actually paternal and maternal again. And then he says, and any house that you own the keys for, which means your houses, and also he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa sadiqikum, actually, also your friends, it's okay for you to eat in their houses, which means if they invite you over, if you go to their houses, it's okay. Like basically Allah is saying, It is all right to share meal together. It's all right that you eat together. But then, what's the point then of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing people of disabilities at the beginning of this ayah? Why is he saying there's no harm on the blind, on the one who has certain disabilities, or even chronic disease or illness and so forth? Why would he mention this at the beginning? Why? Because in the culture of that society back then, if anyone has disability, is they're completely ignored and neglected. And they're not even part of the society. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us and ordering us to take care of those who are less fortunate in the society, those who have been tested with certain disability. We've been ordered to bring them to become part of the mainstream. And that's why, subhanAllah, the societies are measured by the way they take care of the weakest link among themselves. And if we don't maintain, if we don't care, or if we don't actually prepare the facility, for example, our masjid, our homes, our schools, for anyone with disability, it means we're not caring for them, we're not caring about them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is commanding us to take care of them in these social gatherings, to include them to become part of the mainstream. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. It's all right, no blame. If you want to eat, you can eat together or you can eat separately. What does that mean? Whether you put the food together and you eat from the same plate, like in some traditional gatherings, or what many people they do. They go actually, it's open buffet, you're going to collect for yourself, you have your own plate, and you eat from your own plate. It's okay. That was also mentioned in the Quran. Can you imagine? Even open buffet was mentioned in the Quran. The etiquette of how to eat, how to present the food when you have gathering, you have people around you. So the Quran is careful about teaching us the major and the manner of akhlaq and etiquette. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he was asked about the meaning of the ayah from Surah Ali Imran. وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. But you as ulama become rabbaniyin. Become like we say the word rabbani, like rabbis in the Jewish tradition actually. Well, rabbaniyin, the ulama, he was asked, what's the meaning of alimun rabbani? A scholar who is rabbani, like coming from the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, al-alimun rabbani, he is the one who teaches people sigar al-ilm qabla kibari. The alim, the rabbani, the great scholar is the one who begins with people, begins with the basics before you get into the major things. Basic etiquette. So part of the basic etiquette is really learning these things that we take them sometimes for granted. Like how to enter the house, how to eat, with whom you eat, who should come to visit your house, and who should you visit. All these things, subhanAllah, they're mentioned in the Quran. How even to handle and take care of those who are less fortunate in our society. Those who have been tested with certain disability, for example. We're responsible. We're responsible to make sure that they come into the family and the community as becoming part of the mainstream, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So may Allah make us among those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it, ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.